Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On. So economical, yet so effective.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
My dear listeners, well met. I am, should anyone ask, Vanity Fair's author William Makepeace Thackeray. In this chapter, like it or no, we must observe Miss Matilda Crawley at the mercy of Mrs. Bute. Be reminded, please, that if anyone tells Miss Crawley she is or looks ill, the trembling old lady instantly is ill. Now, I dare say to some degree she felt poorly following the sudden family debacle yesterday, but her hovering sister-in-law made bad worse.
Oh, my dear Matilda, how wretched, how pale and tragic you look. I have arranged for Dr. Swinnerton to call twice a day, the apothecary once, and you are to take your medicines every 2 hours. It is clear to me you are exceedingly ill.
When anyone enters Miss Crawley's sick chamber, pious Mrs. Bute utters a shh so ominous that it frightens the poor lady, fuddled with medicines and huddled in her bed. Mrs. Bute sits steadfast in the armchair at bedside. And now she begins to instill into the patient a proper abhorrence for Rawdon, lest he be received back into his auntie's good graces.
Dear, dear Matilda, you shall not weep over the loss of Rawdon. I know your sadness and can remove it from you.
Oh, yes, yes, take it away. It is past bearing.
Now, you will be sad no more when you know his true character.
I know his true character. I know him well. Such a dear boy until this wretched marriage.
Oh, how cleverly he has kept the truth from you. We in the family have long been dismayed, but kept silent. And now it is my unhappy duty to tell you his history. Let us speak first of his duel with Captain Firebrace.
So brave Rawdon was.
My dear, I have the particulars of that ugly quarrel. Rawdon was wrong from the beginning.
Brave?
Desperate. He had to shoot young Firebrace to prevent the truth coming out.
What Rawdon said? He said that...
Said he had been insulted? Oh, not so. Rawdon began the quarrel, insulted the captain, challenged him, killed him.
Rawdon? Oh, surely not. Oh, I cannot get it straight in my head. I must discuss it with him.
And be tricked yet again. I will get it straight in your head.
Oh, no, 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 no. I don't want to talk of it more.
Oh, there, there, there. We shan't. I shall change the topic at once. Dear Matilda, do you know the agonies of country families whose daughters Rawdon has ruined?
What are you saying?
No, no, I shall say no more. It is too painful for you to hear the astounding rogueries and falsehoods by which he has imposed upon the most generous of aunties.
Can this truly be my Rawdon?
Your Rawdon no longer, nor do you want him. for he will come to perdition. Sleep now, Matilda. Sleep. I shall not leave your side. Of that, you may be sure.
Listeners may be sure that as the days wear on, Mrs. Bute will bring forward such a catalogue of Captain Crawley's sins as would serve to condemn a whole regiment of officers. Be it remarked that if a man has committed wrongs, however small, no moralist is more anxious to tell and exaggerate them than his own relations. Bide, please, I shall return with more agreeable news. House to let. A pretty little furnished cottage is what is wanted by Captain and Mrs. Crawley. They have visited seven, looked, scowled, and departed. None suited the charming bride. Now, the eighth. A perfect abode. How Becky's feet, like little mice under her petticoats, have run up and down the stairs, in and out of rooms, whilst Mr. Thistlewood, the landlord, nodded and smiled to shelter such winsome beauty in his house. Discreetly now, he has stepped into the garden, leaving the young guardsman and his wife alone to decide if they are suited.
You do like it, Rawdon? You do?
I do, dearest, but...
Cottage straight from a fairy tale, and we are the prince and princess.
My princess, the cost
oh,
is...
Oh, 4 guineas a week.
16 a month? We can't, my darling, can't.
No, can't and won't.
Oh, Dad, I thought you'd vow we could and would.
How can you think I'd be so foolish?
Beck, you do keep saying Auntie will take us back. Our expectations are what always they were.
She will, they are. But until that artful Mrs. Bute departs, we must manage on our own. Of a certain, we shan't pay 4 guineas a week for lodging.
Alas, my angel, I meant you to have a palace, but even a proper cottage must wait. Come, we'll go out to the garden and tell Mr. Thistlewood he must find other lodgers.
No. You will go to the garden, stay in the garden, and send Mr. Thistlewood to me. He's just there on the terrace. Go, stay, and send.
Ah, my little sly boots, you mean to argue him down?
No, I shan't argue at all.
Why then do you want to see him?
Only to say I'm sorry. Go and stay.
Yes, sir, Commander.
Well, Captain Crawley?
Commander Mrs. Crawley would like to see you inside, sir. I'll just have a look round the garden.
Fine garden, Captain. Woodbine, muskrose, gillyflowers, lavender, harebells, lady smocks, and all manner of trees.
You're proud of it, I'm sure.
Mrs. Crawley?
I heard you speak of the garden. How beautiful it will be in spring. It breaks my heart I shan't see it.
You're not letting the house... I thought you were much taken with it.
Taken? No. I've fallen in love with it, Mr. Thistlewood.
Then why? Is it too dear?
Not too dear at all. You ask far too little for perfection.
Then, my dear lady, why are you not taking it?
Too dear for us, but not for its treasures. Do, please, not let it to anyone who does not love it as I do. I can't bear to think of someone here callous to its beauty. You said your dear departed wife decorated it all herself. In her memory, promise you'll let it only to those who appreciate its every inch.
I hadn't just thought of it before. But yes, Esmeralda would want it so.
I especially love the bow window here in her sitting room. Did she sometimes rest on the window seat, listening to the sparrows twittering in the ivy outside the casement? Oh, I'm certain she did, as I might have done.
She did often sit there.
And I may yet. When my husband comes into the fortune bequeathed him by his aunt Matilda Crawley, or another by his father, Sir Pitt Crawley, both of them very elderly, then I shall come back and pay you 10 guineas, sir, or any sum you ask to dwell in this place. 2 fortunes mean nothing to me, only beauty. I don't crave a palace or great rooms, French cooks or fine stables. I want perfection, and it is here, in this little jewel of a house.
Mrs. Crawley, 3 guineas a week?
Oh, how kind of you. I'm afraid it is still too dear. I'll call my husband now and not trouble you any further. Broden, 'tis time to go, my darling.
Two guineas.
What? Two? Oh, you could not, must not.
Can, will. Esmeralda would wish it.
No, it's not fair to you or the cottage. Oh, I'll not hear of it.
I insist, Mrs. Crawley. I beg you, implore you.
I say, Mr. Thistlewood, it's a capital garden.
Dearest, you will not believe. This dear, good, generous man implores us for two wretched guineas a week to live in this paradise.
Oh, ladies, gentlemen, I give you Miss Becky Sharp. Alias, of course, Mrs. Crawley. Cannot grow accustomed to that name. Well, join her and me tomorrow, dear listeners. Your devoted, obedient servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.